Hi, this is Steve.
It's Alice.
Alice, you sound like a man.
I am a man. Alice, it's Alice Cooper.
Oh man, I'm sorry. I thought you were another one of those telemarketers, but you're...
I do that, you know, during the COVID thing, you know, since we're not touring, I do a little bit of telemarketing, and then, you know, you got to keep your hand in the game somehow.
So did you get any touring in 2020 before all this hit? Did you get to go anywhere?
I was in Berlin and doing shows in Berlin, and they said, you have 24 hours to leave Germany before we close the borders. And that was March 7th. And we had to cancel over 150 cities.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, between the Alice Cooper band and the Hollywood Vampires, you know, with Johnny Depp and Joe Perry, that band, we had 150 shows ready to go. It's going to be a very busy year. Now, I'm not used to having 7 months off. You know, I mean, this is crazy. This is insane. It's nice because my daughter's just getting ready to have a baby, and they're staying at the house here. So, you know, I'm going to be a granddad for the fourth time with a little girl this time. So it's nice that I'm here. But every band I know is like racehorses at the starting gate, getting ready, you know, wanting to get out and play.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, I bet. Yeah. So yeah. I'm curious. I mean, a lot of disc jockeys, I've been doing this about 40 years, and I've met a lot of disc jockeys that wanted the fame and the fortune and kind of saw themselves as possibly being a rock star someday or something like that. You were the rock star that became the DJ. How does this happen?
Well, you know, I was friends with Dick Clark. And Dick Clark, it was just at that time when radio was getting a little stale, you know. And he says, if you had a radio show, what would it be? And I said, Dick, I said, what it would be, I would take it back to the 70s, where the DJ is the personality. And he plays the songs he wants to play, and he talks. I said, first of all, the great thing is this. Every single band that I play or artist that I play, I know. And I can tell a story about it. Or a backstage story, or some insane thing, you know. I said, people love backstage stories. So if you play the Beatles, I got 100 Beatles stories, you know, or Rolling Stones, or it doesn't matter what band it is, you know. And that makes it something where the audience almost gets to hear something that they've never heard before. What? He did what? Keith Moon did what? You know, and I was there for those stories, you know. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I kind of have that corner on that market. And at the same time, you know, I'm going to play AC/DC and Led Zeppelin and what they want. But I'm also going to play every once in a while the Yardbirds. And I'm going to play bands like Them or Paul Butterfield Blues Band or something, you know, to decorate it and give it a little more flavor here and there. And then I'll have a story about that, you know. So I've been doing it 16 years now. And I'm touring more than ever, so I get to do both. I get to do the radio show and tour.
That's got to be a tough balancing act, getting all that in.
Well, it is, but at the same time, you know, the radio show to me is so easy. It's just so much. I just turn the mic on and start talking. You know, I tell people I'm not politically correct, incorrect. I'm politically incoherent. So, you know.
I like that. Can I steal that? Right now.
So you've been doing this for 40 years. You've seen a lot of changes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, you know, what you're talking about is exactly what I have always done, which is, you know, the personality, the live and local. And I do every day, I do a request show from 9 to 10 o'clock in the morning. You know,
I mean, love that.
Yeah, the old-fashioned request, and the people love it. You know, they're calling
in.
And I actually do, you know, I don't do Casey Kasem's voice, but I do the dedications like Casey Kasem if they have something. And that's what makes radio. I just think it is super cool. I've been a fan of Nights with Alice Cooper for a very long time. This literally is going to be the first radio station I've ever worked at where we managed to get it on the air. It was
great.
Yeah, I mean, you know, every market, everybody wants your show, you know. So,
well, it's amazing that this show's been on, like I said, 16 years. I'm on, I think, 180 stations around the world. But, I mean, I'm on in, like, Budapest, and I'm on in, like, Istanbul and London every night and Australia. And that's kind of interesting to have an international show because it really shows you how rock and roll is so international. When you when you're talking about rock and roll, you go past politics. You don't do, I don't do political humor at all or anything like that. I just talk about the people that they've listened to all their lives. You know, if I play a song, you know, about, you know, I don't know, Paul McCartney, I can tell a story about how McCartney came into the Hollywood Vampire sessions and you know, we were just like stunned, you know, because it's Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
And then there's a Mick Jagger story later on, and then there's this and that. And I never let the truth get in the way of a good story, you know.
I thought you said you weren't political. Wait a minute.
Oh, no, I mean, it's not political. It's just more fun because people have this vision of backstage of what it is, you know, and it used to be that. What you picture in Hollywood that used to be as insane as it was, you know, as you see it on in the Hollywood version. And then and now, you know, I say people want to go backstage to see a bunch of fat guys move amps around. You know.
So you mentioned Hollywood Vampires. Tell me a little bit, how in the heck does that happen? How does Johnny Depp end up on the stage playing with Alice Cooper? How does this come about?
Well, Johnny was a guitar player way before he was an actor, and I knew that. I did a movie with him called Dark Shadows, and at the same time we were touring, you know, and so we went one night to play a club, a very famous club in London called the 100 Club, where everybody's played there, from the Yardbirds to the Who to the Kinks, everybody. So we went there that night, and I said, Johnny, why don't you come and join us? And he shows up, and the audience would yell out things like, back in the USSR. So we play that. You know, Brown Sugar. Okay. Johnny knew every song. Played every song. So I started telling him about the Hollywood Vampires drinking club back in the 70s. With Harry Nilsson and John Lennon and myself and Keith Moon and, you know, T-Rex and Bernie Taupin and Mickey Dolenz every single night when they called us the Hollywood Vampires. And we were a drinking club. And he said, well, you know, it would be great to put a bar band together and just play songs for all of our dead drunk friends. You know, and I said, yeah, that would be fun. Joe Perry goes, I'm in. But Duff McKagan, you know, said, I'm in. And pretty soon there was this little bar band that ends up touring all over the world now, headlining festivals in Europe. And we weren't expecting it to be that. And here's Johnny, who can play as good as any guitar player in any band. And people don't know that. I mean, he just spent 2 months with Jeff Beck.
Wow.
So, I mean, if that says anything, Jeff Beck doesn't play with just anybody. He plays with people that can play.
Yeah.
You know, so Jeff when Beck's people amazing. Are shocked, oh, he's the best yeah. I've ever heard. And when, you know, when Johnny gets up on stage and Joe takes his solo, and then Johnny takes the next solo, people are jaws drop and they go, wow, we didn't know he could do that. You know, he's a great guitar player. When he's on stage, we don't see him as Johnny Depp the actor. We don't see Edward Scissorhands or... You know,
well, no, because
it, Barrow. We see a guitar player. He's our guitar player.
I would like to see him play the guitar with as Edward Scissorhands. Well, that would be entertaining.
Well, yeah, he might kill himself, you know, doing it. And he'd destroy a lot of guitars, you know. But every once in a while, you know, we'll be on the road. And, you know, maybe we might be out there for like 5 weeks or 6-7 weeks. And so where's Johnny Day? And he'll be down at the Children's Hospital dressed up like Jack Sparrow.
Wow.
You know, he does things like that, and the nicest, sweetest guy you've ever met in your life. But put a guitar in his hands, and he'll knock you out.
That is so cool. You know, it's funny, you and your career, how it has spanned things. And I've got to tell you this, because this is just a kind of an interesting story. J96, part of Heartland Communications. We've got four stations in the group up here in the Northwoods in the Ashland area. And the guy that does the morning show on our classic hit station is Q-Ball. And Q-Ball, when we were going over to Duluth, he said, you know, the very first concert I went over here in my life was The Deck. And one of the first people that ever played at The Deck was Alice Cooper. And it was my very first concert. And that's the one I took my wife to. And I think they've been married for, I don't know, like 53 years or something like that now.
Oh, wow. Great.
And so when we were working on getting the show, the general manager, John, says to me, you know, one of my very first concerts was over at Duluth. It was the Alice Cooper concert. So these two guys met at the Alice Cooper's concert and didn't even know it in Duluth in the 1970s. So there you know.
It's been a long career. And, you know, the great thing about it is that I'm actually touring more now than I did then. And the shows are better now. You know, I mean, I put two bands together that are so good that it's ridiculous. I mean, how good these bands, and they're all best friends. That's the best part about it. There's no ego. There's no arguing about guitar solos. There's nobody's, you know, backstage problems. Everybody's best friends. So everybody's laughing all the time. You know, that makes my world so easy because I don't have to put fires out. You know, I mean, everybody just goes, let's just go play. Come on. You know, and I love that because they're in it because they love playing.
Well, and I get that from your show, too. It seems like when I'm listening to your show, you sound like you are having a blast being the DJ.
Yeah, it's fun because I just turn the mic on and just kind of go, okay, what are we talking about today? And, you know, it's so funny because certain bands I make fun of, you know, but they're friends. And I got to a point where I was making fun of certain people, and I stopped doing it. I said, okay, that's enough. We got to stop that with him. And I'd get a call going, hey, what happened? You quit making fun of me, you know. And I went, oh, okay, I'll start up again. Because they know it's not done viciously.
Right.
And they know that it's, you know, and I put them on the show, and they can insult me right back. It's, you know, I have no problem with that. But you have to remember, we're all friends, and if you can't take a joke, you shouldn't be in this business. If you don't have thick skin, you shouldn't be in this business.
Well, that is true of the radio business, but I imagine it's probably amplified. I mean, you get criticized all the time, so that's...
Oh, I feel so sorry for Johnny. Johnny, I mean, 99% of the stuff I read about Johnny is absolutely untrue. It's just absolutely untrue. And he just says, yeah, you got to live with it, you know. You just move on.
So I got to ask, I mean, none of us are getting any younger. I've seen recent pictures of you, and you don't look like you're 25 anymore. Are you thinking about retiring at any point?
I'm 37. Yeah.
You're 37. No. And with four grandkids, you started young.
let me tell you something. The retirement word is not in my vocabulary. I have never felt better in my life. I've never, you know, we'll do a two-hour show, and all my guitar players and drummers and bass players, they're in their 40s, right? And they're exhausted, and I'm the only one not breathing hard. So I've maintained my health through this whole thing. And actually, I'm in better shape at 72 than I was when I was 30. When I was 30, I was a wreck.
So maybe you really are a Hollywood vampire after all.
I might be because, you know, the running gag is we go through pictures, you know, at home. You know, you go through all your pictures and they'll say, you know, hey, oh, look at the hairstyle mom had. Look at that. Well, dad looks the same. And you get all the way through up till now, and they go, dad looks the same.
You really haven't changed much. You really haven't.
I'm starting to think, there's something weird going on.
Yeah, well, Dorian Gray, vampire or something. So
Dorian Gray, I hope I don't find that portrait somewhere.
So Nights with Alice Cooper, man, I love the show, and I appreciate you calling today, Alice. You know, 7 to midnight, you're on Monday through Friday here in the Northwoods, and I'm getting great feedback. People are loving the show, and thanks for calling me today, man. I appreciate it.
Steve, you're one of the stalwarts in our business, so, you know. I do, though, you know, like I said, I haven't been touring, and I do want to kind of, like, ask you about that auto warranty that you have. If you want to renew that, or if you'd like to go with a five-year... Because I can make it a commission on that, you know.
Yeah, I'm sorry you have the wrong number.
Oh, okay.